Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 12th chapter of Hilchos Isurei. In this parak, the Rambam will discuss various prohibitions surrounding having relations with either a non-Jewish person or certain types of converts. Halacha Aleph. Yisrael shebal ovedes kochavim yishar u'mos derech ishas. O Yisraelis, shenivala oved kochavim derech ishas. Harei ilu lokin min ha-Torah, shenamar, lo sichatein bam, bitcha lo sitein, livno, uvito, lo sikach, livnecha. If a Jewish person has relations in the way of being married, marital relations, with a woman who is not Jewish, or a Jewish woman has relations in such a fashion with a non-Jewish man, then in that circumstance, they will receive lashes on a Torah level. As the Pasuk says, you shall not intermarry amongst these nations, you shall not give your daughter over to his son, nor should you take his daughter for your son. Now, though the particular context of this pasuk is regarding the seven nations that lived in the land of Israel, nonetheless, the Rambam tells us this is a broader prohibition which applies to any non-Jewish person. And in fact, this is made explicit through the Navi, that we did not take our daughters and give them over to the non-Jewish people who live near us, and we will not take their daughters for our sons. Halacha Beis. Below Asra Torah el derech chasmas. Now, the Torah's prohibition applies specifically when the act of relations is had in a marital context. However, if one has relations with a non-Jewish woman in a licentious fashion, not in the confines of a marriage, then he receives lashes on a rabbinic level. Why does he even receive them on a rabbinic level? Because there's a concern that if this was not the case, then they might come to intermarry. And if he particularly designates this non-Jewish woman for having these relations outside of the confines of marriage, then in that case, he is liable for various different sinful acts, for having relations with a woman who was a menstruant, with having relations with a woman who was a maidservant, having relations with a woman who was not Jewish, and having relations with a woman who was a harlot. And if it simply happened once, it wasn't that he designated her for this particular purpose, then he's only liable for having had relations with a non-Jewish woman. Now, with regards to all these obligations, they're only rabbinic in nature. What it means to say that you would only be held accountable for this particular sinful act and receive lashes on that particular act, rather than if it was a woman who had been designated for this, then you are liable on all of these accounts, hypothetically receiving more lashes than just one set. Halacha Gimel. B'metra Mamurim, when is this true? Kishaya Boel Yisrael, if the one who had relations was a regular member of Klal Yisrael. Aval Kohen Abal Kutis, Lokim Ena Torah Mishum Zona. However, a Kohen who has relations with a non-Jewish woman will receive lashes on a biblical level because she qualifies as a Zona, a halachic term for a woman who is considered promiscuous. V'echad Zona Kutis, V'echad Zona Yisraelis. And this halacha applies to whether or not the Zona is a non-Jew or a Jew. And with having relations alone, he will receive these lashes because she is not fit to have a marriage with. Halacha Dalet. Kol ha'bal kutis, bein derech chasnas, bein derech tznos. Im ba'al b'farhesya, v'hu she'ida ba'al e'nei atzar mi'yisrael u'yaser. Im pagu bo kanal and v'haragu, harei ilu m'shubachu n'uz reason. If somebody has relations with a non-Jewish woman, whether these relations are had through the context of marriage or just as an act of licentiousness, if he has relations with this woman publicly, and that means in front of 10 members of the Bnei Yisrael or more, in that case, if somebody decides to strike him down as an act of vigilante justice and kills him, such an individual is considered praiseworthy and acting with alacrity. This matter is something which has been passed down through our Mesorah from Moshe all the way back at Har Sinai. And support from this in the Torah can be found in the act that Pinchas did when he rose from amongst the congregation and struck down a leader of Shevet Shimon, whose name was Zimri, when he was sleeping with a non-Jewish woman. The one who's acting zealously is only allowed to attack them when they're in the midst of the act of relations, as was the case regarding Zimri. As the Pasuk says, he struck down the woman in her lower part of her body as she was having relations. Al imperish ein horgin osa. However, if they desist from the act, then you are not allowed to kill them. Im harago narag alaf. And in fact, if he kills him, then he would end up being killed himself for this act. In other words, if the zealous person struck him down, that counts as an act of murder in such a scenario. Im ba knai lito rishosni based in lahargo, ein morin lo, vava pishu bishas mesa. Furthermore, if this zealous individual comes to the rabbinic court and asks, am I allowed to kill this individual, they don't instruct him to do so, even though it's an act at that moment. Below od el imba knai laharugas at ball v'nishmat at ball v'hara knai k'di lahatz atzmo miyado ein habol neragalav. Not only that, but if this zealous individual goes to strike down the one who's having relations, and the one who's having relations desists from the act and turns around and kills the zealous person in order to save himself in an act of self-defense, in that case, the one who is having relations will not be held accountable for having murdered this zealous individual because he was just acting in self-defense. If somebody has relations not with any regular non-Jewish woman, but a non-Jewish woman who has accepted upon herself to abide by the seven mitzvot of the Bnei Noach, and she lives in Eretz Yisrael as a citizen, in that scenario, one is not allowed to act zealously and kill the individual sleeping with her, but we do give the person who was sinning lashes on a rabbinic level. Lachavav. Lo pagubo kanan, velo hilku beistin. If, however, a zealot does not strike down this individual, nor beistin administers lashes. Hari ancho meforesh b'divrei kabbalah, shehu bekaris. His punishment is explicitly stated in our Misorah, in the words of the Navi, that he receives excision. Shneimar, his pasuk says, he chilal Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ahiv uval bas el neichar. That Yehuda had desecrated that which was holy to Hashem by engaging in relations with the non-Jewish girls, and Hashem should cut off such an individual and not allow him to have any descendants. If he's a regular member of Klal Yisrael, he will not have any children who will be amongst the wise men of Klal Yisrael. And if he is a Kohen, then he will not have any descendant who will offer up a carbon to Hashem. Hinei lamarta, shabol kutiski ilu neschate la'avodas kochavim, shneamar bal bas el neichar, v'nekra mechalol kodesh Hashem. You see from this that one who has relations with a non-Jewish woman is as if he's actually married himself to a idol itself. As the pasuk says, he had relations with the daughter of a foreign god. And moreover, he's considered one who has desecrated that which is holy to Hashem. Lachazayin. This sin should not be something which is considered light in your eyes, the Rambam tells us, just because it does not have any capital punishment offered by Beis Din. Rather, it has a loss which not one of the other forms of immoral relations have. What is this stringency that this has? When somebody has a child from an act of forbidden relations, from an erva, he is still his child for all matters, and he counts amongst Klal Yisrael, even though he might be somebody who's considered born from an immoral union. However, a son that one has from a non-Jewish woman is not considered his son at all. As the pasuk says, that by marrying into their families, it will cause your son to be drawn away from Hashem. He will pull himself away from being amongst those who are after Hashem. Halacha ches. V'davar zeh gorim lidavik ba'ovdei kochavim, shehivdi lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu mehen, v'lashuv me'achrei Hashem v'lamod bo. And by having relations with a non-Jewish woman, it causes one to connect himself to these non-Jewish nations who God has separated us from, and to be drawn away from God's service, and ultimately to betray him. Halacha tes. Ove kochavim haba abas Yisrael, im eshes ishi, nerag olel, im pnuyehi, eno nera. If a non-Jewish man has relations with a Jewish woman, if she's a married woman, so then he will be executed for that which he had done, and if she is not married, then he is not executed. Halacha yud. Av Yisrael haba al kutis, bein ktana abas shlosh shanem v'yom echad, bein gedola bein pnuyeh bein eshes ish, v'afilu haya katan ben tesha shanem v'yom echad, keman sheba al kutis bezadon, harizu nehereges, memnei sheba li Yisrael takala yada kibahema. However, if a Jewish man has relations with a non-Jewish woman, whether she is a young girl who's 3 years old in one day, or whether she's a full-fledged adult, whether she's single or whether she's married, even if he was merely a boy who was 9 years old in one day, once he had relations with this non-Jewish woman and she participated willingly, knowingly, then she will be executed for having had relations with him, because through her act she brought about a stumbling block for the member of Klal Yisrael, just as is the case when an animal that a Jew has a perverse relationship with was complicit in that act, the animal too ends up being killed. This is something which is explicitly stated in the Torah. That the Torah considers the women who were participants in the advice of Bilam Harasha to cause Bnei Israel to stray after the Midjani women, that those women who were involved were held accountable and were killed. Halachiyat Aleph. Havadim shet bilu osam l'shem abdus, v'kiblu aleim mitzvot shavadim chayim mehem, yatu makal ha'ovi kuchavim l'chalal Yisrael lobal. A slave who has already immersed in a mikvah in order to be considered a slave, and they have accepted upon themselves the various commands which a slave is obligated in. In that circumstance, they have left the category of being a non-Jew, but have not fully entered into the category of a regular Jewish person. Lafikach hashivcha asura leben chorin. Accordingly, it is forbidden to sleep with a maidservant if one is himself a free man. Echad shivcha asov, echad shivcha asovero. This is true whether it's his own maidservant or his friend's maidservant. Vahabal shivcha makneso makasmaris medivri sofrim. And one who has relations with a maidservant, in fact, receives lashes on rabbinic level. But they are specifically on rabbinic level. Sherim eforish b'torah, shado nosein shivcha kananis la'abdo ha'ivri, v'hi muteris lo, sh'nemar, imodona v'itein lo isha. Because the Torah says explicitly that a master is able to give his Jewish slave a maidservant to have as a wife, and therefore it must be that it's permitted. Now, the sages did not enact any enactment regarding this, and the Torah itself did not obligate any lashes, unless we are dealing with a woman who was defined as a shivcha harufa, as Aram has already explained earlier in Mishnah Torah. However, this sin of sleeping with a maidservant should not be something which is light in one's eyes just because the Torah does not ordain lashes. Because this as well causes the child not to be considered amongst the Bnei Yisrael. Because the child born from a maidservant is a slave. He's not a regular member of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what one has done by sleeping with her is that he has caused his holy seed to become desecrated and to become slaves. Hari Unklus Hamtargim Kala Blias Eben Shivcha Bchalal Lo Yekadesh Lo Siyekadesha. In fact, Unklus, the great translator of the Torah into Aramaic, who lived in the days of the Tanakh, explained the pasuk as saying that you should not have a prostitute man or woman amongst Klal Yisrael as including having relations with a slave man or woman. Halacha Yudalit. If one has relations with a maidservant, however, even if it's done publicly and at the actual moment of the sin, a zealous person is not allowed to strike him down. And furthermore, if one marries a maidservant in the confines of a supposed marriage, that too does not bring about lashes on a Torah level. Because from the moment that she had immersed in the mikvah and accepted upon herself the mitzvahs, she is pseudo-Jewish. She's left the category of being a non-Jew. Halacha Tezvav. Nizari v'lad Yisraelis b'vlad shivcha. Hari shneim safik. V'chol echad mehem safik eved. V'kofin bala shivcha u'meshachar es shneim. V'im haya ben hu adon shel eved k'she yegdelu yishachru zeh zeh v'imutar in levo v'kal. If there was a Jewish child who was mixed up with the child of a maidservant, now both of them are potentially a slave. We don't know which one's which. In that case, we force the master of the slave woman who had this child to free both of them. And then, if it was that the son was actually the master, meaning whichever one is actually the real Jewish person and not the slave, if he was the master of the slave, in that case, when he reaches adulthood, they should both free one another, and at that point, they will be permitted to marry a regular member of Klal Yisrael, because in that case, since whichever one of them was really the master, he would have already freed the slave. Halacha Tezadayin. Hayu hatarobes banos harei shtehen safik shvachos v'abal achas mehen havlad safik eved. If the two people who had been mixed up were female, then both of them are potentially maidservants. And if one has relations with either one of them, then the child born from that woman is potentially a slave. V'chem nisari v'lad ovek chavim v'lad Yisraelis ma'bilin es shneen l'shem giris v'chol achas mehen safik giris. And similarly, if two children that had been mixed up, one of them was Jewish, one of them was not Jewish, we don't know which is which, we have them both immersed in the mikvah for the purposes of conversion, and then both of them are potentially considered a convert. Halacha Yudzayin. Kol odei chavim kulam, kishizkaru v'kablu aleim kol ha-metzvot shebetorah, v'avadim shishacharu, harei hen kiyisrael l'chol davar, shne'emar, hakal chuka achas yelochem. Any non-Jewish person who converts and accepts upon himself all the mitzvot in the Torah, or any slave who is freed, they count fully as a member of Klal Yisrael with regards to all matters. As the pasuk says, the congregation will have one law for you, whether we are referring to a regular member of Klal Yisrael or to a convert. Umutar and lekanes bekal Hashem yat, and they are immediately able to marry another Jewish person. This is assuming that we are dealing with a regular member of Klal Yisrael who is marrying one of these converts or freed slaves. Except for four nations, who you'll see is more complicated when they are allowed to marry into regular members of Klal Yisrael. Amon, Moab, Mitzrayim, Edom. These four nations are the nations of Amon, Moab, Mitzrayim, and Edom. Because with regards to these four potential converts, when they convert, they are fully considered Jewish, except with regards to marrying into the Jewish community. So what is their halacha? Amon u'moav isurin isur olam. Zacharim v'lo nekevot. Shneamar lo yavo amoni moavi b'kal Hashem v'gomer. Halacha moshi sinai, sh'amoni ha-zachar v'movi ha-zachar hu sh'asur l'olam yisa ba'as Yisrael, afilu ben b'no ad sof olam. The halacha regarding Amon and Moab is that they are forever forbidden to marry into Klal Yisrael. However, this applies specifically to male converts, not to female converts. As the pasuk says, that a Amoni or a Moabi is not allowed to enter into the community of God. And we have learned through our Masorah, all the way stretching back to Moshe from Har Sinai, that this refers specifically to the male members of Amon and Moab, and not to the female ones. A female one is, once she converts, permitted immediately to marry a regular member of Klal Yisrael. Lach Yutes. Mitri ve'edomi, echad zacharim, echad nekevos, dor rishon v'dor sheni asurin levo v'yisrael, v'dor shlishi mutter, shnemar, banim asher yivaldu lehem. With regards to the other two nations, a Mitri or a Edomi, whether male or female, the first or second generations are forbidden to marry into the rest of the Jewish community, but the third generation is permitted. As the pasuk says, the children who are born to them, referring to after the second generation, the third generation is allowed to marry into the community of God. Halacha chaf. Mitris mubarish niskaira b'nasheni. If there is a Mitri woman who converts while she is pregnant, the child born to her is considered a second generation Mitri. Mitri sheni shenasa mitris rishona, o mitri rishon shenasa mitris shenia, havlan sheni shenemar banim asher yivaldu lahem, hakasap tlan belita. Whether the boy or the girl is a first-generation Mitri, once they are a first-generation Mitri, even though the partner might be a second-generation Mitri, a child born to them will be considered a second-generation Mitri. We follow after the higher level, in this case, the one who was the first generation. Halachaf Aleph. Ger Amoni Shenasa Mitris Havlad Amoni. Ger Mitri Shenasa Amonis Havlad Mitri. Zaklal Bumos Hilich Achar Zachar Iskairu Hilich Achar Pachos. If a boy Amoni marries a girl Mitzri, so the children are considered Amoni. If a boy Mitzri marries a girl Amoni, in that case, the children are considered a Mitzri. The general principle is that when we are dealing while they have been married as non-Jews, the identity of the child will be determined based off of the father. If it's after they've already converted to be Jewish, so then the children's identity will go after that, which is the lower of the two statuses. Halachav Beis. Mishin is Kaim Yeshiva Amim, Einan Asurim at Torah Levo Bekal. If somebody converts from one of the seven nations of Canaan, then they are not forbidden on a Torah level to marry into the rest of Klal Yisrael. Vadavar Yodua, Shilin is Kaim Mehen El Givonim. Now, it's a well-known matter that the only ones who had converted from amongst those nations were the people defined as the Givonim. V'Yoshua Gazar Aleim Shu Asurim Levo Bekal Echad Zachar Bechen Kibos. And Yoshua Ben Nun himself had decreed against them, though, that it's forbidden for them to marry into the rest of Klal Yisrael, whether the boys from them or the girls from them. Velo asar osam el bizman sheish mikdash, shneimar v'chot ve'etim mishuavim mayim lebeis Elohai, tolhar chakasam b'mikdash. However, Yeshua only forbade them from marrying into the rest of Klal Yisrael in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. As the pasuk says, there shall be wood choppers and water carriers for the house of my God, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Yeshua hung their distancing from the rest of the community of God on the Beis HaMikdash. Lachav gimel, v'manakram nesinim levishin asanam lavodas HaMikdash. And they are the ones who are referred to as the Nesinim because they had been given over, the Shem Shoresh of Nesin, to the service of the Mikdash. But David Gazar Aleim Shelo Yikantu B'Kal Lo Olam, Afilu B'Zmajei Mikdash. However, in the days of David HaMelech, he decreed against them they shouldn't marry into the rest of the Bnei Yisrael ever, even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. V'chem Reforosh Be'ezra, when Nesinim Shelosan David V'Asarim La'avodus HaLeviim, Holamat Shelo Tal Osam B'Mikdash. The pasuk says that they have been given over to the service of the Leviim. That implies that even when there is no actual Mikdash, they have still been given over apart from Klal Yisrael. Now, for what reason did David decide to extend this decree and to forbid them from ever marrying to Klal Yisrael? It's because he recognized the brazenness, the cruelty that was amongst them. Because they asked for 7 sons of Shalom Melech, the one who was chosen of Hashem, to be hung and to be killed. They did not have mercy upon them. The final halacha in the parak. When Sancheir, who was the king of Assyria, rose up and came and conquered so many sections of that area in the world, all the different nations became mixed up, and they were all exiled from their regular place. And these Egyptians who currently live in the land of Egypt, they are other people. And so too with the Edomites in the field of Edom. And therefore, once these 4 nations have been mixed amongst all the other nations of the world who are permitted to be married into the rest of Klal Yisrael once they've converted, so then all of them have become permitted. Because any one of them who decides to leave those nations and become Jewish, he's considered a parush, somebody who's separated from a larger group, and therefore we follow after the majority. And accordingly, we will say that they are regular converts. Accordingly, when anybody converts from whatever nation they might supposedly be from nowadays, whether male or female, they are immediately allowed to marry into the rest of the Jewish community. Have a wonderful day.